There's Cardinals fans in the house tonight. What about Cincinnati Reds fans? Anybody? Any Detroit Tigers? Any Chicago Cubs fans? All right. Well, I am a Chicago Cubs fan. And I grew up a Cubs fan, and about 6 years ago or so, a neighbor invited me and my wife to go to a game, and you can see a picture here. This is me and my wife, Abby, out in front of Chicago Wrigley Field there. There we are, ready to watch the Cubs in May of 2016. And we had a great time, and I realized, hey, they have a lot of good players this year. So I went home, I downloaded an app. This is in 2016. I downloaded an app to listen to all the Cubs games. When I was working around the house, I'd have the Cubs game on. I checked the score every morning. I knew their whole entire lineup. I knew their batting averages. I knew their win-loss record. I knew the pitcher's ERA. I was all in on the Chicago Cubs in 2016 and really, really followed them. And they made it to the playoffs, and they won. They made it to the next round, and they won again. They made it to the World Series. Anybody remember that? And this is crazy. My brother calls me up when they're in the World Series, and he goes, "You're not going to believe this. I put my name on Cubs.com in their email for a chance to win some tickets." They said a few tickets. Tickets were going for $2,000 a ticket or more for the World Series. My brother goes, "I just got four tickets." And he said, "I'm selling two," and he sold two for $4,000, and he took me to Game 5 of the World Series. You can see this picture there, back when I had short hair. There we are, the World Series, 2016, Chicago Cubs. We were there. It was insane. And, of course, that was Game 5. They went on to win the World Series. In the small town where I live, Cubs fans were so excited the first time they've won in 106 years. I'm not kidding you. The game ended past midnight. Does anybody stay out for that? Anybody remember that? People ran out in the streets in my neighborhood, lit off fireworks, and shouted as loud as they could. We were so thrilled at the Chicago Cubs. And guess how many Chicago Cubs games I've watched this year? Zero. None. I have not watched 1 minute of the Cubs. Last year they got rid of most of their players. I don't even know if I could name more than two or three players on their team. I am what you call a fair-weather fan. A fair-weather fan is somebody that roots for the team when the weather's good and the team's good, and when they're no longer good anymore, we don't care anymore. I am a self-admitted fair-weather fan, a bandwagon fan. I want to be really, really forthright with you tonight. Some people are fair-weather fans of Jesus Christ. When things are good, when life is fun, yay Jesus. When things are hard, when you have to take a stand, you bail. And I'm going to be real straight right here. Do you know where a lot of fair weather Christians are found? Church camp. I love church camp. I went to church camp. I was a counselor at church camp. I love miracle camp. This is awesome. I hope that this week you're having a spiritual high. I hope you love worshiping. I hope you love your time in your word. But guess what? It's easy to be on the bandwagon. It's easy to cheer for Jesus in this room and in this place. When you get back to school this fall, when it gets a little bit harder, a lot of people are fair weather fans of Jesus Christ. I was at a church conference with one of my best buddies in high school. I was a senior in high school. He was all about Jesus. He committed his life to Jesus. He actually got baptized right after that camp. He went home. He was a senior, so he was 18. He actually, this is not, of course I'm not kidding. I'm telling you the truth all week. He got a tattoo of Jesus on his deltoid right here, a big fish. It says Jesus. He went to college that fall, never went to church, didn't read his Bible, didn't surround himself with Christian friends. And I think to this day, he's not following Jesus. And it makes me really sad that one of my good friends was all in for Jesus at camp and then never followed him. We're going to continue in John chapter 6. And we saw this morning that some people were just following Jesus as a part of the crowd because they wanted bread. But I'm hoping that as we continue this text in John 6 tonight, that we're going to see that Jesus calls us to follow him with ongoing, daily, day after day after day, when the sun's shining, when the clouds are overhead, no matter what, allegiance and commitment to him. This story is a little bit confusing. This is a hard passage. So I want to first look at what Jesus says, and then what it means, and then how people respond to it. So let's pick up in verse 47. We looked at the first half this morning. Let's pick up in verse 47, where Jesus says to a crowd, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." Time out. When we see an I am statement, what is Jesus doing? He is saying, "I am who? God." Because in Exodus chapter 3, the name of God is I am who I am. And Jesus is taking God's name tag and he's putting it on himself. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, that's a little bit confusing. He says, the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh. It seems like Jesus is telling people to eat his body. Like he's talking about cannibalism here. It's kind of weird, isn't it? But if you look carefully at this, in verse 47, he defines what he's talking about. Eating the bread of life is believing. Look at verse 47. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life." So here's the deal. Verse 51, he says, if you eat the bread of life, you live forever. Verse 47, he says, if you believe, you live forever. So what does he mean when he says, eat the bread of life? Believe. That is what it means to eat the bread of life, to believe in Jesus. I want to say that again really, really clearly. Believing is how we eat the bread of life. The reason Jesus is speaking of his body as bread is because he's relating a past event to a future event. In the past, God the Father gave manna, bread, to the Israelites in the wilderness. In the future, Jesus is going to give his body on the cross so that we can have eternal life. The manna helped them live just another day. His body allows us to live forever. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that Jesus' payment on the cross as a substitute for our sins was a payment. His flesh was the currency that was needed to pay the price of our sin. And so Jesus is saying the way that we eat his flesh is that we trust in him. We believe in him. The word believe is a very, very important word in John's gospel. It appears over 90 times. In just 21 chapters, over 90 times, John uses the word believe. Trust. Have faith in Jesus. So what does that mean? What does it mean to believe? To believe is to act in accordance with something you can't see. To believe is to act in accordance with something you cannot see. Earlier this summer, our junior high youth group went to Six Flags Great America. Anybody ever been to Six Flags Great America? It's pretty sweet. The best thing was, it was an overcast day, a lot of clouds. People thought it was going to rain, so there were no lines. So we just rode as many roller coasters as we could until we all wanted to barf. And I think maybe a few kids did. And it was awesome. We loved it. So I love roller coasters, but here's the deal. Some of the kids in the youth group didn't like roller coasters. And I was all amped up to go on Superman. You can put the picture of Superman up there. If you've seen this, Superman, you get in the chair, and then it actually puts your feet behind you, and you ride the coaster laying down. So, by the way, this is so cool. There are so few people there. We rode it one time, got back to the station. There was no one in line. We didn't even get off. We just rode it again. And then we really wanted to barf, and it was awesome. But anyway, so people were really, really scared to ride the Superman. And I said to them, professional engineers made this thing, and they tested it, and they have a safety harness and a secondary safety harness, and millions of people have ridden this ride and rides like it, and even if we die, it'll still be fun. You should go on the Superman. And here's the thing. Some of them believed that, not the die part, but they believed professional engineers have tested this. They believed millions of people have ridden it. They believed in their mind it's safe. But they didn't get on the ride. Belief in the scriptures is action. It's not just mentally agreeing with something. The belief that we see all over John is, do you believe in such a way that you will get on the coaster? You will trust the fact that that harness will hold you, and you will act on it. Belief is action. Specifically, the belief of the scriptures is the action of repentance and obedience. The word repentance means to do a U-turn in your life. You're going one way towards sin, towards selfishness, toward not following the Lord, and you say, I am wrong. You confess that. I'm a wrong sinner living for self, and you do a U-turn. That's what repentance is. And you say, I'm going to live for Jesus. Now, you don't do it perfectly because every day you want to turn back around. You got to keep repenting over and over. But repentance is a U-turn where we go from living for ourselves to obeying the word of Jesus. When Jesus says, you must eat the bread to have eternal life, he says, here's free eternal life. Simply get on the ride. Simply believe in my name by repenting of your sins and making me the king of your life. So Jesus says this, and his audience in John 6 is really, really confused. Look at verse 52. In verse 52, it says, the Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're like, what? What is he talking about? So Jesus responds in verse 53, and he kind of makes it more confusing. Why would he do that? Remember this morning, he's not just trying to get a crowd. He's going for commitment. He's not just trying to fill the stadium. He's looking for followers. Let's read verses 53 through 58, and I have an assignment for you. As I read these verses, count how many times we read the word feeds. The word feeds, F-E-E-D-S. Count how many times we read this. John verse 6, chapter 6, verse 53 reads this. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. How many times did you hear the word feeds? Four times. Here's why that's important. Jesus says some confusing things there. He says you have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. He's speaking in a metaphor, in an illustration. The key is the word feeds. It means ongoing belief. Ongoing belief. It's not just a one-time meal. We must eat again and again and again and believe again and again and again and repent again and again and again. If you go to the dining hall tomorrow morning and you just start woofing waffles and cereal and cottage cheese and you have 17 pieces of sausage and 14 waffles and 16 pieces of toast and you just woof it down and then you don't eat lunch and then you don't eat dinner, you don't eat tomorrow, the next day, another week, what will happen to you? You'll starve. Believing in Jesus is not one meal. It's not one meal where you say, give me Jesus, and then you don't eat anymore. Feeds four times. He's like, look, you got to keep walking with me. Jesus did not just say, come to sign this decision card and sign up for Jesus and then go do whatever you want. What did he call people to do? Follow me. Walk with me. Be my disciple. Feed on me. It would kind of be like this. Someday, most of you will want to get married. When that day comes, you'll plan out a wedding this beautiful day, and guys in the room, here's just a little advice 10 years in advance, 15 years in advance. Whatever your fiance says, just say, sounds great, babe. I love it. Just do that for the wedding, and it'll be good. For the wedding, not the marriage, just the wedding, all right? Okay? So you just smile and nod and say, it's going to be awesome. You're going to have a great day. You're going to have a great day. So let's say then you get married, and your wife sits down, she wants to talk with you, your husband wants to talk to you, and you say, no. We already got married. I already made that decision. Now I'm just going to live however I want. Is that a marriage? No. That's silliness. Yet sometimes people do that with Jesus. They say, I decided. I committed. Even I got baptized. But then they don't walk with him. They don't feed on him. They don't repent continually. Jesus is calling us to walk with him in ongoing belief. And I want to say this again. I said this last night. You're not little kids anymore. It is time for you to own your faith. You got to decide, do I believe this is God's word and do I want to know it and do I want to read it? You got to decide, do I want to pray and know God? Do I want to confess my sins? Do I want to give thanks to him? Do I want to sing? You started out under your parents' faith. Some of you did. Some of your parents aren't yet believers. But now you're coming to a place where you got to decide, who is Jesus? And am I going to follow him? And you're old enough to do that, to follow him. You're old enough this fall in the cafeteria to make a stand for Jesus, to share your faith. You're old enough to say, you know what? I need to love other people like Jesus has loved me. It's time for you to decide, am I going to own my faith? So we come to the end of this story in John 6. Jesus has been teaching some hard things. And in verse 60, some of the people in the crowd say this in verse 60. This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? They're kind of confused. We jump down to verse 66 and look what happens. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They were fair weather fans. So Jesus said to the 12 disciples, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Holy One of God means Messiah, the Christ, the King. Some people were fair weather fans. They were just like bears who got food and came back for more food. And Jesus said, they didn't stick around. But his true disciples said, you are the king, and we're going to feed on you. We're going to walk with you. We're going to believe with you. You are our king. And this decision is before every person in this room tonight. Who is Jesus? Do you believe he is the great I am? He is the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who offers eternal life. Some of you do. Others of you, you may just say that at Miracle Camp. You may just praise Jesus in this room, and you may, like the people in John 6, walk away from him. But I hope that's not the case. I hope that this could be a point in your life, this very week, when you say, Jesus is my king, and by his grace, I'm never going to turn back. I want to walk with him forever. Here's the deal. That happened in my life. At that same conference where my friend made a decision to follow Jesus and got a tattoo and then walked away from him, at that exact same conference when I was a senior in high school, I was raised in a Christian home. I was baptized when I was a young teenager, but I wasn't really living for Jesus. But when I was a senior in high school at a conference much like this, I believed for the first time, this is real. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. I am a sinner that needs a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the only Savior that offers eternal life. And on that moment, I pledged my life to Jesus, and I said, I'm all in. I'm all in. I don't even know what that means, Lord. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. You want me to go tell my friends, I'll tell my friends. And I went back to school that senior year, and I told my friends about Jesus. And by his grace, I'm still walking with Jesus many years later. I'm passionate about this because I know that you can make a decision that starts now but doesn't end. And your life, instead of living for yourself, for the bread that perishes, you can do a U-turn and live for the one that offers eternal life. That decision is before you. And I hope you talk with your cabin, you talk with your counselors, and I hope that in your heart you say, Jesus Christ is King of my life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do not want to be fair weather fans. We don't just want to praise you in this place and walk away. We want to give our whole lives to you. We want to surrender. We want more of you and less of us. And I pray you'll do that mighty work in each soul in this room tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.